Hello and welcome to the newest edition of the Junk Baller Podcast. And I should say good morning, Kevin.
How are you? Good morning.
A little different intro this morning. We are podcasting on a Saturday morning because I had a little bit of free time. I don't normally have any free time on Saturday morning, but I have a little free time because my nephew's Little League game got canceled. And so I don't have to coach this morning. So, Kev, how are you?
I feel better than I usually do for the afternoons. I feel like the roles are reversed now.
Yeah, they are.
You're the tired one, and I'm the one that's feeling pretty good.
Yeah. Kev, if you don't know about us, Kev and I have very different sleep schedules. I will sleep in probably till 9:30 if I can on every day. Last night I think I went to bed around like 1:30. Maybe two. But Kev will be in bed sometimes at 7, sometimes... What time did you go to bed last night? 9?
Around 9, 9:30.
Okay. Yeah. So it's a very different type of lifestyle.
And I wanted to sleep in this morning. I really did, but I still woke up at like 6 o'clock.
Oh, that's awful.
And I wanted to sleep in later, and I couldn't do it. It's just my body's too adjusted to the early morning schedule now.
Yeah. So this morning I have my coffee with me. Right before we started podcasting, my mic wasn't even close to me. And Kev's like, make sure your mic is close to you. And I'm like, oh yeah, I got to do that. So if my voice is a little raspy for this podcast, that is the reason why. It is currently 9 o'clock or 9:20-ish on a Saturday. Podcasting. All right, we're going to do this, people. We're going to do this.
This is going to be rough.
This is going to be a great one. So... big news happened last week. Arise got traded.
He did.
And I told you people that the Marlins were tanking. What did I tell you guys? They fired Ng, and then they didn't extend Schumacher, who won manager of the year last year, and then they just traded their best player in May, the first week of May.
Yeah, and they didn't trade him for anybody, did they?
Yeah, they had a couple relievers. It was... the highlight guy apparently was Woo-Suk Go, but there was Dylan Head, first baseman Nathan Martorella, but it doesn't say anything about them really. It just people say that they got a none of them really are like top prospects, which is kind of sad given that Arise is one of the best hitters, if not the best pure hitter in baseball, because he has very similar stats to Tony Gwynn for the first 5 years. If anyone's seen that, it's kind of crazy. The first 5 years, their stats are almost identical.
I think the mindset of the Marlins could be summed up tonight. Who is it, the GM or the president said last week? He's like, well, we're not making the playoffs this year.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's a terrible mindset to have.
Yeah.
Can you imagine what that does to the morale of the players? They're not going to care anymore. It's like, well, we're not making the playoffs, so we're just going to trade away our good pieces. They were in the postseason last year.
Yep. Yeah. So their president of baseball operations is first year on the job for the Marlins, but he's from the Rays organization. So he has some experience of knowing what he's doing, but... I don't like it.
You can't say that.
You can't say that. It's not appropriate for a fan base. The morale of that clubhouse has to be at an all-time low. Alcantara's hurt. Perez got hurt. Schumacher's not extended, so he's like, oh, I'm not going to be here. I'm basically just working till the end of the year, and then I'm not going to have a job.
Yeah.
And then, like, some of their prospects, like, they've. Look at Tim Anderson. He's having one of the worst years ever. And they signed him. He can't be having fun. I mean, I know they're in Miami. And it's nice weather. But, dear Lord, that team just... ugh.
And he went 4-for-6 in his first start in San Diego and had a walk-off last night.
Yeah. So. I feel good for Arise. Like, he's actually with an organization that's trying. Because the Padres... I think in the offseason, I was like, I don't know exactly what they're doing. I know they wanted to shed some payroll, and they did that, and they went and got Arise. They've seemed like they have endless amount of prospects. But I think the Padres, I don't know if like that team has like the, can mesh all together. If you know what I mean, I feel like it's not like the, like, a, you know, when a certain team has just like all that chemistry and they just bond together, it just feels like the Padres are just that team that like has a bunch of good players, but they're not going to like come together and be like a really good team.
Well, think of the core of that team. Who is originally from San Diego that's a part of like the star core of that team? Tatis?
Yeah, but Tatis was a trade piece that they got him in the James Shields trade too. So he wasn't even brought up in the organization. Like, he was traded and then like came up, I think, a year after the trade.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, I don't think any of these guys came up in the organization.
No, Machado was the free agent.
Machado, Bogarts, yeah. Tatis even.
I don't even know if Cronenworth. Cronenworth's the only one that I can think. Or Kim, Hoseong Kim. But he's not a centerpiece. Like, with the Yankees, they had Judge come up and...
Sanchez, Glaber, yeah. The Baby Bombers.
Yeah, you still have some of that core there, and then they added pieces. Kind of like the Phillies, where they had Reese and Nola, and they were kind of like the big pieces, and then they brought in other guys.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see how... I like the trade for the Padres. I mean, they're going for it. I didn't know exactly what they were doing in the offseason, but I just don't think they're going to be able to actually pull it off. I think they're a good team. I don't think they're going to be able to do it, but it's a good trade.
I think they'll do enough this year to like cause the Dodgers a bit of trouble, like kind of give them a run for their money, but...
Agreed.
I don't know if it'll be enough to actually overtake them.
Yeah, I agreed. So that was the Rise trade. That was a big surprise when I saw that on my Instagram and Twitter feed. I was like, oh, okay. But then there was this happened a couple of days ago, the Wilson Contreras injury, which was just completely dumbfounded by how it happened.
Yeah.
You saw the video, right?
Yeah.
He said, so if you haven't seen the video, the Wilson Contreras injury, the Cardinals told him to move up in as a catcher so that way you can frame pitches better for called strikes, because that's what they're doing. That's why catchers don't sit. That's why they have the one knee down, so it's that way can frame pitches better. Well, Contreras was literally almost a foot forward, and his on the swing of JD Martinez, it broke his forearm, I believe. His forearm. Yeah, and he's out 6 to 8 weeks. When you look at the side-by-side camera, it is... I don't even know how he was going through his mind. He was had his depth perception must have been off for just that swing. There's no way he thought that that was a good idea to be up that far. Like, there's just no absolute way. I'm not going to blame the Cardinals. I'm probably going to blame him, because there's no way that he can be actually that close and think that's a good idea. Like, he's an adult. He's a baseball player. He's a smart player, all-star, big contract. He has to realize that, coach, I can't move up that far. I'm going to get hit. And I know catcher's interferences are up the last 2 years drastically. And I think last year was the record. And I think we're on pace to beat the record again this year.
Because of the framing philosophy.
Yeah.
I feel bad for him. It was an ugly injury, but he did it to himself too. Yeah. So I don't know how bad I can feel for him.
Yeah.
It sucks. He had surgery yesterday or the other day, and he's going to be out for a while. Yeah. Who's the backup in St. Louis?
I do not know. That seems... The Cardinals have not been the same since Yadi left.
No.
And I was wrong about them. I picked them to win the World Series last year, and I thought that they would win the division this year. It's not looking like that, people. I have a question for you.
They're
actually
in the basement right now.
Yeah. I have a question for you. Do you think that they'll be sellers? I mean, they did add a lot during the offseason with just veterans, but do you think that they could be sellers? Like,
I've never seen St. Louis as a team that sells.
No, neither have I. But this is kind of a low for the Cardinals. You don't see them 2 years in a row at the bottom of the division.
No.
Like, I don't know. I don't think they would trade Arenado, but Arenado would be the one player that I think they would trade. Goldschmidt doesn't have any value right now because he's slumping so hard. I saw a stat yesterday. Three of their players, I think it was Gorman and Goldschmidt and one other, they're 0-for-48 in their last 48 at bats. That's just ridiculous.
That's bad.
Absolutely absurd. It'll be interesting to see what happens with the Cardinals after that injury.
They might just have to blow it up.
I don't know. Can you imagine that fan base having to blow it up? Because they have a lot of young players. Like, I don't, other than Arenado still got a lot of money on that deal. Goldschmidt just signed an extension, but Goldschmidt doesn't have a ton of value right now. and then Contreras is hurt. You can't trade Sonny Gray. He just signed him.
Yeah.
Maybe Helsley would be the closer that you could trade him, but 'tis the only one good thing that's happening to that team.
Well, maybe try and work it around and start building the core of the young players like you did in Houston and Baltimore.
Yeah.
And try and rebuild from the ground up, because you already lost, that old core with Yachty and Pujols and
yeah. Yeah, that team has not been the same since Yachty. Like, Pujols left for a period of time. They were still fine. Yachty was that foundation piece since the early 2000s. And since then, since the last 2 years, it just hasn't been the same.
No.
And that's fair. I mean, Yachty's the quarterback of that team and in that clubhouse, and he's just not the vocal point anymore. Mm-mm. So it's amazing. It's important to have good players that are good clubhouse guys and leaders. Who knew? So it'll be interesting to see what happens with the Cardinals after that Wilson Contreras injury. But speaking of, on the opposite end of teams that are actually having a good start, look at our Phils and Yankees.
Indeed.
Yankees are in first place?
They're a game behind Baltimore right now.
Game behind, okay.
Well, I tell you, we better get those tickets pretty quick for the Baltimore series, because those are going to be a hot ticket.
I was actually looking at some statistician released the difference between last year and this year in attendance, and I think it has to be skewed just because of the weather earlier this year was just awful. But the Orioles are barely having a half-filled stadium, which really surprises me, given that they're doing very well. But I know we have to get the tickets. I'm totally down whenever we want to do that. But it just surprised me that the Orioles are doing not filling up the stadium, given that they're pretty much the big off-season type team that everyone was excited for. Yeah. But yeah, the Yankees are doing well.
Yep, they are doing well. Apart from a few hiccups here and there, especially against Baltimore. Baltimore's going to be a tough beat in the division.
You just have to get to Craig Kimbrell in the bullpen. Yeah. Dude's ridiculously bad right now.
Well, I mean, even their starting pitching shut them down. But other than that, I can't really complain too much. Soto has been a huge, huge trade.
You have to sign him.
They have to sign this guy. I don't see why they can't just give him a blank check at this point. He's a perfect fit for that stadium.
Yeah.
Perfect fit.
I kind of don't want to see him in any... as a baseball fan, I do not want to see him in another jersey. I think he belongs in pinstripes.
I agree.
Yeah.
It's his theater. Judge got off to a slow start, but now he's getting back into it. He's back up with 9 home runs. Volpe got off to a super hot start. He slowed down a bit, but he's still doing well. Torres is still kind of middle of the pack. Trevino has picked it up. He had some nice plays last night at backing up that catcher. It's good to see him back after being hurt last year, because he was on the All-Star team in 2022.
Mm-hmm.
So I really like having him back there. And the pitching's been great, too.
Yeah, look at that. Garrett Cole's been out, and your pitching's been pretty good.
Yeah, Clark Schmidt had a great start last night against Tampa. He went 6 innings for once.
Yeah.
It was the first time all year he's gone more than 6 innings.
I saw a stat this morning or yesterday. The Yankees have the best bullpen ERA in high-leverage situations with, 1.54.
Yeah, Clay Holmes.
Yeah.
Clay Holmes, he hasn't given up the run, I don't think, this year.
Yeah.
And he hasn't blown a save. He makes things interesting. I mean, he still gets the job done, but
that's baseball.
It's never super easy with Clay Holmes, I should say. But I think we said this at the beginning of the year. As long as they stay afloat until hopefully Cole gets back,
mm-hmm.
I think they'll be okay. Yeah. And so far, they're exceeding that for me.
Yeah. Is there an update on Cole?
He was throwing. Mm-hmm. I don't think he's been scheduled for any rehab starts or anything. But okay. I think the idea is to get him back sometime in the summer.
Okay.
But even Nestor, he's 1-for-3, but he hasn't been pitching that bad either.
Yeah.
I think he's just been unfortunate to be on the wrong side of some starts that the Yankees had no offense in.
Yeah.
Rodon's come back so far this year. He's been pitching well. Stroman's been hit and miss.
Yeah.
He's had some good starts. He had a decent start against Houston the other night, even though they lost. Mm-hmm. How about them against Houston this year?
Yes.
They've they've won six of, they've taken 6 of 7 against Houston so far.
Yeah. What the heck is going on with Houston? Oh my gosh. That's ridiculous. Yeah. But I'm anything else you got on the Yankees before I talk about my Phils?
I think the one thing I'll just say as I transition into the Phils is that, you know, they've gone out to a hot start like the Yankees, and it's a bit surprising for me to see from the Phillies, because the Yankees are the team that usually gets off to the hot start, and the Phils the last couple of years, they're a little slow in the beginning, but then they pick it up in the second half.
Yep.
It seems to be the opposite so far with the Phillies this year.
Yeah, there was a poll online by a radio station. I'm not going to give them credit because I don't like them right now. But they put out a poll saying, are you worried about the Phillies' hot start? And I'm like, what the heck? No. Why would I be worried? Like, are they peaking too soon? I'm like, no. We've had so many years. We've had last 3-4 years where we've gotten off to a boring start, horrible start, just like below 500. And we're like, is this team for real? Like, oh, we got to sell. Like, is Harper a fraud? And now as soon as we start doing well, we're like, oh, are we peaking too early? No, we're doing great. We have the best record in baseball. Wheeler, Suarez, Harper, Bohm are all tearing it up. It's been great. The only thing that I'm worried about is the bullpen. That's the only thing I'm worried about. Offense, I'm not worried about. Trey Turner's out for a little bit, but we'll be okay. Starting pitching's been ridiculous. I can't say anything bad about the starting rotation. I know people will say Nola's like the worst thing that is on this team, but if a 3.5 ERA is the worst thing in your starting rotation, I'll take it. That's literally perfect. Like, if that's the worst thing in your rotation.
Realistically, you could see a Cy Young battle between Wheeler and Suarez so far.
Right now, yes. And I picked Glasnow to win the Cy Young, but oh my gosh, Wheeler and Suarez are... Suarez is almost unhittable at this point. The dude is ridiculous. He is the first Philly since Steve Carlton to start 7-0 in his first eight to start the season.
Really?
He's 7-0 with a 1.5 ERA. That's just ridiculous. But yeah, Trey Turner's on the IL. That sucks, especially since it's a hamstring, and that's concerns me given that he hasn't had a ton of soft tissue injuries in his history. He's had broken bones, which doesn't really bother me. The soft tissue injuries bother me, especially with his speed. Yeah. So he's expected to be back, I think, at the end of June or like mid-end of June, I think. But they said that's also on the cautious side, like best case scenario. But the Phillies have the best record, and things are going great. I'm not – Bohm has been fantastic. He was arguably the best hitter almost for the month of April, pretty much. But I can't complain.
Him or Trey?
Yeah, Trey – I would say Bohm was a better hitter. Trey was – who got off to a slow start. Bohm was kind of got off like consistent through the rest of the month of April. And Bohm's continued to do it. He's just come up clutch in a lot of spots. But Trey's been fantastic too. I don't have anything bad to say about the Phillies right now other than the bullpen still concerns me with a couple pieces. With Soto, Dominguez, and kind of like the long relief guys. But I think we'll probably trade for a piece. I would love to get Mason Miller. That dude's just absolute. That's probably a topic we should talk about. Mason Miller. Dude is electric. Freaking electric. Got a negative FIP. And people who don't know what FIP is, it's fielding independent pitching. It basically describes a pitcher's stats regardless of the fielders. And I didn't know it was possible to get a negative FIP. I thought you could get down to zero, but that's been a topic of conversation. But yeah, Phillies and Yankees off to a good start. Yeah.
Well, on the Mason Miller front, I've heard that there's a rumor that the A's are not necessarily opposed to moving him sometime this season.
Oh, big surprise. The A's willing to move a good player? Gosh. Yeah. I saw the tweet. Hopefully people will see this, but it's kind of a connection to like Major League where the team wants to be so like go somewhere else. It's a bunch of really bad players and then they have but they're overachieving and they have a really, really dominant closer. It's exactly like Major League. Mm. But yeah, Mason Miller is going to be traded before the trade deadline easily. Heard the asking price is very steep. Should be because he's absolutely ridiculous. And I think he's like 22, 23, 24. He's very young. So It'd be interesting to see what happens.
Should
there.
The Phillies go after him?
I would go after him, yes, easily. I would love Mason Miller. I'm trying to think of players. I said at the beginning of the year, the bullpen was the only thing I was worried about because they said it is the best bullpen projections for WAR and just the, I don't know. I'm just not worried about that. But moving on. There were some City Connect jerseys that were released.
Yes, there were.
Now, these were all better than the Phillies ones, in my opinion. And I hated to admit it because the Mets released theirs, the Rays released theirs, and the Tigers kind of almost were under the radar. They released theirs. But out of those three, which one are your favorites?
That's a hard one. At first, I was thinking the Mets would be
mm-hmm.
Because I like the gray and the white. And the purple
mm-hmm.
is not too outlandish.
Purple is my favorite color. That's not. That's a SpongeBob quote, people.
And if it wasn't necessarily for the mesh look of the Rays one, I like their scheme, but like the mesh on it. I don't know why they did it that way. I was speculating last night it was because of the devil rays, perhaps.
Yeah.
It looks kind of scaly.
Yeah, I don't. Right? That's the only thing I don't like about the Rays jerseys. Everything else, I absolutely love. The hat is fantastic.
Yeah. And the Tigers one reminds me of bit of the Phillies one without the yellow, if that makes sense.
Okay.
Like they kind of have that black and blue fade going on.
Yeah.
But I would say it's better than the Phillies one. Agreed. Because it doesn't have the yellow.
Agree.
And the font is better.
Yeah, I agree. I actually, the only thing I don't like about the Detroit one is the hat. It just says Detroit. Yeah. And I'm like, that's terrible. You could have done so much better with that.
Yeah.
But I actually kind of like Detroit's a little bit. I don't know why. One of my friends, Evett, he follows us on the he mentioned that I should actually just read verbatim what he said. But I was telling I remember I put out on the Instagram, I was like, what do you guys think of these jerseys? And I said that I actually kind of like the Tigers ones, but Evett said it looks like they got run over, kind of ties into the league wiping the floor with them these past few years. And I was like, that's actually true. I didn't even think about I said, I kind of like the tire tracks, but you've given me a new perspective because they're okay. Like, I kind of like the Motor City logo. I like the font there, and I kind of like the tires, but the tires are almost too close together.
Yeah.
Like, is it a tractor trailer type? Like, that's the only thing. It made me actually think because there's no, unless it's like a hot rod. But anyway, I think the Rays are probably the best out of the three that were released. But I like the jersey of the Tigers. Don't like the hat. And the Mets one, for me, I don't like it that much. I'm not sure if it's just because it's the Mets. But the hat is just too much going on. The bridge is too big.
Yeah,
it's too big.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
And do you know what the story is behind some of these City Connects? I know they've been trying to like have like these crazy...
Yeah.
Like, this represents hope and grittiness and inspiration.
Well, the Motor City one's easy because that one...
Well, yeah.
That one's
easy.
Yeah. The Rays one, like, it's kind of like a skater vibe because they have, like, a skateboard involved in it.
And Is Tampa a big skateboard city?
I personally don't know. If anyone from Tampa, please let us know if you guys are a skater city. But I don't know. I honestly don't know. Yeah. I can't remember who. I think the Cardinals have a City Connect this year, and I think one other team has a City Connect reveal. I think there was six teams. Maybe the Guardians? But I'm not looking forward to them, honestly. It's just all these jerseys. There's no jersey that you're like, wow, I want that jersey.
No.
None of them. There's no jersey that you're like, this is absolutely fantastic. And the Nationals are getting rid of the almost probably – one of the best ones with the cherry blossoms.
The cherry blossoms. Yeah. I like those. I didn't necessarily like the gray color, but the pink looked nice.
Can you imagine how good they would look on a white jersey?
Yeah, they would. That would look
clean.
Awesome.
Be super clean.
That would be one of the jerseys I might actually get.
Easily.
So between opening day and the All-Star break, it's going to be the Guardians, Tigers, Dodgers, Twins, Mets, Phillies, Cardinals, Rays, and Blue Jays.
Okay, so we got the Guardians, Blue Jays, and Dodgers. Wait, the Dodgers? I thought they already had...
They're having another one.
What?
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing. They just had one.
God, freaking MLB. freaking, they love the Dodgers. I don't know. All right, anyway. And our last talking point before we get into the fun fact is Imanaga is just absolutely tearing it up for the Cubs.
The 30-year-old rookie.
The 30-year-old rookie who is nicknamed, who has a fantastic nickname, the throwing philosopher. The dude is, he's very interesting. He is a 30-year-old rookie from Japan. He's with the Cubs right now, but he is 5-0 with a 1.08 ERA. Dude's probably the top player for rookie of the year, even though he's 30. Kind of like Jose Abreu when he won it, when it like 27.
Or even Ichiro when he came over to the U.S.
Yeah.
And a 0.82 whip, which aka is walks and hits per innings pitched, for those of you who don't know.
So Cubs are doing well. They're in second place behind the Brewers. I didn't expect the Cubs to be doing this well, to be honest, but look at them. Imanaga's doing pretty well. And I think I want a full disclosure. I definitely pronounced his name wrong in earlier podcasts. We were talking about this before. I think I called him Imanga or something like that.
I probably did too, but that was because he was getting overshadowed by Otani and we were too lazy to try and figure out what his pronunciation was. Or even Yamamoto's as well.
Yamamoto. Because Yamamoto, people just call him Yoshi.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is a great nickname. Mm. But yeah. That's kind of like the introduction we have for you guys. We had a lot going on, but I have a really interesting fun fact for you guys. So, Kev, do you know of the name? Let me pull.
No.
Okay, gotcha. Just give me 1 second. Have you ever heard of the name called Sid Finch?
Sid Finch.
Sid Finch. You ever heard of him?
He sounds like an early 19th century guy who drank a lot and smoked a lot, but yet had a 400 batting average.
False.
Would that be him?
False. No. Okay. He's actually a made-up player. So in 1985, as an April Fool's joke, Sports Illustrated created a fake baseball player that could throw a fastball 168 miles an hour. Yes, this was an April Fool's joke, but they didn't say it was April Fool's. So on April 1st, 1985, Sid Finch was created by a writer named George Plimpton for Sports Illustrated. He noticed that the date for the Sports Illustrated was going to be on April 1st. So he asked... He found himself unable to find examples to craft an article based off of what his idea was. But Sid Finch is apparently a rookie pitcher for the New York Mets after being discovered in Maine. he only wore one shoe. So this is a fake idea. He's a heavy hiker, but he only pitches with one boot. He's never played baseball before, and he was trying to decide between playing sports or playing the French horn. what was astonishing about Finch is that he could throw a pitch, a fastball, at 168 miles an hour and never needing to warm up. the Mets scouting report gave Finch a 9 on a fastball velocity and control, an 8 on the highest scale. He grew up in an English orphanage and was adopted by an archaeologist who later died in a plane crash. Finch apparently attended Harvard University, and he went to Tibet to learn yogic mastery and mind-body under the great poet Saint Lama Malasarapa, which was the source for his pitching prowess. And according to the article, Finch decided not to pursue a baseball career, instead choosing to play the French horn or golf or something. So... this was an article posted on April Fool's. Apparently, there were a lot of Mets fans that ate this up and were like, oh my gosh, we have a guy who pitches 168 miles an hour. The funniest part about this is that there was someone on New York radio that claims that they saw him pitch in person. And I'm like, are you serious? Like, these guys, this is a fake article. And the guy is claiming on New York radio, yeah, I saw him pitch down. And like, that just shows you how bad sometimes people on radio are about. They're like, oh yeah, no, I saw this. Like, they're gonna make it up. So it actually became like a cult following for the writer. He actually wrote a novel about it, but then they later had to announce that it was a hoax, because I think a couple days later they announced that it was a hoax. It was April Fool's. But Sid Finch, they actually had a bobblehead day for one of the minor league affiliates, because apparently he was a part of that affiliate. So they had a bobblehead day where he was wearing one boot and had a French horn next to him. And the Plimpton was there throwing out the first pitch. So it's kind of a fun, interesting.
What year was that?
1985.
Okay.
Yeah.
The 85 Mets. They had Dwight Gooden that year.
Yeah.
He was the Cy Young winner.
Yeah.
I wonder if they got mixed up or it's just the human mind is so interesting.
Yeah.
Like psychologically, because when you believe something, you're going to make up like things in your mind to be like, oh, I saw this guy or I know who you're talking about. Kind of like trying to fit the pieces together to rationalize the news that you hear or kind of just to fit into what the news is saying. Like the New York radio, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's really, really interesting to point out because they try to be the first on every story.
Yeah,
you don't want to be the second person or the third person. You want to be the first to see someone or to break the news story.
Yeah, 100%.
And the guy was made up,
so it actually made a 30 for 30 on it about the Sid Finch phenomenon. And then they had the bobblehead, the Brooklyn Cyclones. They had a bobblehead day. That's what it was. It's just so dumb. Like I was just looking up stuff. I'm like, what the heck? It was a made up guy.
Yeah.
I wish I was. Can you imagine? That can't happen today. I don't think this could happen today with social media and all that. Because we're like, well, they would look up this guy and they'd be like, oh, there's nothing on him. But people would still eat it up.
Yeah,
they read an article and.
Well, maybe with AI you could make it look real.
Oh, true. That's actually a good point. Ugh, AI, huh? It's a whole other. All right, people. That's our fun fact for today. But our junk ball section, I don't know if they have the fade out like I did. Junk ball. Section. LOL. we have something a little different for you guys. We're going to do something more current topic today. We're doing the fakers and takers of the season so far. So we are going to do teams that are faking it, who are overachieving and we don't think are going to make it, and the takers, who we believe are actually, this is who they are. This is going to be it. Kev's going to do the American League. I'm going to do the National League. We got a couple teams for you. And kind of, we want to hear from you too. We want to know, all right, do you agree with us? But I know I have two teams. Why, do you want to go first?
You go first.
All right, I'll go first. So the first team that I have for you guys is the Washington Nationals. They are currently 19-18. Did anyone see that happening, given that they still have a 0% chance to make the playoffs according to Fangraphs and percentages?
Well, they are in the same division as the Marlins.
Yeah, that's very true. But they are not real. They are fake. They are 100% fake. There's no way the Nationals will finish above 500. There's just absolutely no way with that team.
Like Sid?
Yes. Not real.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, there we go. That's a perfect fun fact. I didn't even think about that. A fake person, and we're talking about fakers and takers. It's an early morning, people, and it's about 10 o'clock here. Oh, man. So the Nationals are 19-18. I just don't see how their team, who only C.J. Abrams is the only player that I can name from that team that's actually doing well, but they just don't have enough for them to compete with the Phillies and Braves in that division. I think the Mets will be a little bit better once they get back some people from injury, but the Nationals just don't have enough firepower to continue what they're doing. Like they've gotten off to around 500. They might be that team where they'll probably be, I don't know, 75 to 80-ish wins, but I don't see them finishing above 500. They're fake. They're absolutely fake. CJ Abrams is having a good year. He might be probably their only representative from the All-Star team, but you know, Joey Gallo is probably going to be traded. I'm trying to think of other players on that team, but what do you think? Do you agree with that?
I think they're overachieving right now.
Yeah.
I know it's not a super overachieve because they're 19-18.
Yeah.
Being a game above 500.
I still think that's actually overachieving for them.
Yeah, but even there, I still think they are, and I think they're going to get to a point, give it a little bit more time. as we get deeper into May and June, I think they'll start to fall off.
Yeah. Yeah, like Trevor Williams is having a good start to the season for pitching wise, but other than that, like I just don't they just don't have the firepower. They just don't have the firepower to continue what they're doing. I'm looking at their stats right now. CJ Abrams is literally the only guy that I can be like, wow, he's actually a good player. But nah, like, I mean Luis Garcia Jr. He's hurt. No. But I don't see it happening. There'll probably be a couple trade pieces too that they trade, but Victor Robles, man, he just fell off the face of the earth. Dude's I don't think he's starting. I remember when he came up, I was like, man, he's gonna be fast, he's gonna be annoying, but he has not panned out for being one of the top prospects for the Washington Nationals. So yeah, that's my first faker. I don't have any other fakers, really. The NL kind of is not as interesting as the AL right now, I would say, just based off of standings. Like, the Phillies are doing well. Braves are doing well. Everyone expected that.
What did you think of Milwaukee at the beginning of the year?
So, I picked them to finish last in the division.
And
so,
they're first right now.
Yeah, but that's not going to be my, like, taker, because just because I think a lot of people still expected them, even though I expected them to do poorly. My taker is the Arizona Diamondbacks. I think that they actually are who they are right now. Last year, I think, was a fluke. They've had some injuries. Corbin Carroll hasn't been the same since that shoulder injury last year, but they are 18-21 right now. Yes. I think they're a 500 team. I think that they've had some injuries with Eduardo Rodriguez hurt. Montgomery came in late, and he hasn't been exactly stellar so far. Gallen and Kelly have both been on the IL, I believe, a little bit. But they just don't have – I just think they were not a one-hit wonder. I just think it's going to be a down year for them, given that the Padres are just reloaded with Arise. The Dodgers are the Dodgers. And it seems like the Cubs and Brewers are just – a better team than those two teams right now in the NL.
Yeah.
So that Diamondbacks probably finish around 500. I think that's who they are. Yeah. That's who they are. I don't think that they're going to be any better or any worse with what they are.
Well, let's think about what they did last year.
Yeah.
They were 84-78. Their team batting average was 250. Their team ERA was 4.48.
Yeah.
And I hate to bring this up, they shouldn't have gone to the World Series last year.
No, they shouldn't have. The Phillies blew it.
The Phillies blew it more than the Diamondbacks won it.
Correct.
Nola did not have a good game six, and the offense didn't show up in either game six or game seven.
No, bullpen gets blamed more because,
well, with Kimbrel,
yeah. He gets the most blame just because that one pitch changed kind of like the momentum for the series, because we had that lead. We just needed to get out of the inning, and then we would have a 3-1 lead.
But, and then when they finally played the Rangers, they didn't really have much of a shot.
No.
I mean, they lost game one. I know that was an extra innings, but that really set the tone for the rest of the series.
Yeah.
And it was just not an exciting series. I won't get into that. We already talked about that. I agree with your sentiment.
Yeah.
They are a meh team.
Meh.
To me.
Yeah, they're meh.
I don't feel strongly against them or strongly for them. They're kind of just there.
Yeah.
And they have a couple of people that I like watching, like Corbin Carroll, but
he's having a down year.
He's not doing well so far.
No. So his average, they showed some of his stats since that shoulder injury he had last year. He played, I think he had a little bit of time off and then played through it. But dude's batting 200 with two homers and 13 RBIs. An OPS of 555, which is literally... someone should be sent down because of that. Yeah. He is absolutely having a horrible, horrible year. And I feel bad because I like him. He seems like a great, genuine guy. But he's supposed to be kind of like that centerpiece for that team to kind of, even though carrying the workload given that. But Marte's having a decent year. But I just don't see them having like a just – great team. Like, they have good players, but they don't have everything to continue what they're doing. It's not like the Phillies when, like, when they had that hot run in 2020 or 2022 where they made the World Series, like, they had firepower. They just finally put it all together and got hot. And then last year, they put it together again later in 190 games. And then this year, they're on fire to be continuing. They have that a lot of just, I don't know. They also seem to have good chemistry, but they have that those players that just are there and are it players. Whereas the Diamondbacks kind of just, I don't know, they don't have a lot of foundation pieces, in my opinion, to continue doing what is one hit wonder type thing. But we'll see. I think the division's tough with the Padres. And the Giants have had a lot of injuries. The Giants are kind of, I don't know what the Giants are doing. They just seem bad right now. Like, Chapman sucks as a third.
How about Snell?
Yeah, Snell's hurt. He's got that abductor strain in his like hip area. So he's been out. But those are the only two things I have for you, the fakers and the takers. Nationals are definitely faking it. There's no way that they can finish above 500. In that division, I think the Phillies have played the Nationals once. I don't think that the Nationals can continue being 500. They'll probably be a little bit below, like I said, 75-ish wins probably, but they can't continue what they're doing. And then the Diamondbacks, they are who they are. They're not going to be any better. They're not going to be any worse. They're just like a meh team. Mm-hmm. Kind of like we had that podcast season of meh last year. But, yeah, I don't have anything else for you in terms of fakers and takers. I would love for people to let me know, or like, oh, the Giants, they should be better just with all the, they're faking it. They'll be better. But I'm like, are they really? Like, you have Jorge Soler is like your four hitter and, Michael Conforto, like, those aren't players you're like, yeah, they're going to be playoff caliber players. No. Like, they got Lee from Japan to lead off. He's been having a decent year. I just don't see them being, they're just, I don't see that. But
I agree.
Yeah. Like, the Phillies, Braves, off to a great start. In that, they're definitely going to run away with the NL East. Brewers and Cubs, off to a hot start. I think those two teams are going to be there. The Reds kind of probably be in the mix for that in their wild card spot, but they're because they've gotten off their couple games below 500. The Pirates actually are a little bit surprising to me. I thought they got off to a pretty good start, but they're 17-22. They just brought up Paul. That's what we should talk about. Today's the debut of Paul Skeens.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. I don't know who he's pitching against, but people were talking about, oh, is this the biggest debut since Strasburg? And I probably would say Strasburg was...
That's a stretch.
Yeah, I would say Strasburg was talked about a lot. I think also just in terms of social media, like it isn't... Paul Skeens doesn't... I think the hype gets stretched out a little bit more, but the Strasburg one was more like hype.
It definitely was hype. Yeah. It was him and Harper.
Yeah.
They were both coming up for Washington. I still remember... being in high school and getting that Sports Illustrated cover with Bryce Harper on it before anybody knew who he was. And that was like his first real breakthrough. Same thing with Strasburg. They were talking about a lot in like 2009, 2010.
Yeah. But I'm not going to talk about the Marlins or the Rockies being, they're who they are. Like, I told everyone that the Marlins were going to tank. I told that. No one expected the Rockies to be any good. Like, yeah, of course they're real. Like, that's who they are. The Rockies suck.
They exist.
Yeah. And the Marlins suck. Like, I'm not going to say it. Like, but I had to pick teams that actually, like, all right, the Nationals, they're above 500. Did anyone expect the Nationals to be above 500 the second week of May? No. So they're faking it. And then with the Diamondbacks, I think probably people expect the Diamondbacks to be second in that division and give the Dodgers maybe a little bit of run for their money. But this is kind of who they are. This is like they're just a 500 team. Last year they were 500, like a little bit above 500. It's just who they are. I don't have anything else more to say. Those are the fakers and takers for the National League people.
Yeah. So for the American League, for me, I just want to start off with an honorable mention for a player. And I hope he gets another shot back in the majors because I feel like they rushed him. Jackson Holliday was a total faker as a player, at least in his initial start.
Oh, we should do fakers for players?
No, I'm just doing it as an honorable mention just in passing because it was something I thought about because in his 10 games, he had a .059 batting average, struck out 18 times in his 34 at-bats.
Oh, Gosh.
I don't know if you could have a worse debut as a rookie than that.
He's actually, I remember his first week back, he was struggling in AAA when he came back. Yeah. So it definitely affected him a little
bit.
They
brought him up too quick.
Yeah. I don't know why the team was doing well. Like
his dad.
I knew, I don't know. I know they have that, but did they really need to? They were doing well. I feel like
they didn't have to do it.
They should have let him continue his hot streak in AAA, and then bring him up maybe when there's an injury or something like that. But I just didn't see. The Royals were doing fine. And then they're like, I was like, where are they going to put him? I know they put him at second base, but that team was doing great. They're in first place. Like, I just didn't see. That was the one mistake the Orioles have made in the last 2-3 years.
Yeah.
So far.
Yes. But with that player honorable mention, I'll go for the low-hanging fruit for the Fager. And I hate to keep taking on this team, but Oakland is a Fager for sure. When we first brought up the Fager aspect, they were the first team I thought of. And yes, I know so far this year they're 18-22, not a great start to the season. They're only 4 games below 500, though.
I want to interrupt for a second. So they've won 17 games. A couple days ago. They didn't win 17 games until, I think, game 80 or 87 last year, which is, they were like 17 and 60 or something like that, But they're now 17 and 22.
18 and 22.
18 and 22.
Yeah. I mean, the main reason why they're at the record now is because they won 6 straight games at the end of April, early May against Pittsburgh and Miami.
Yeah, Pittsburgh's an okay team. Yeah. Miami is absolutely horrible.
Yeah. I mean, they lost to Texas, who's a good team. They lost 8-1 to Seattle last night. They did split against the Yankees, so but they got swept by Cleveland. They beat up on St. Louis. The real thing that's keeping them afloat, honestly, is Mason Miller.
Yeah, who's a closer.
He comes in for one inning. He's the reason why everybody comes in to watch.
You mean like the three people that come to watch?
Yeah. I mean, they have one guy who I'd say is doing all right, Abraham Toro, the second baseman. He has a .289 batting average. Woo. I mean, you have Brent Rooker.
Yeah.
I mean, Brent Rooker's doing fine. But
what's the guy they sent down? We talked about him. Oh, my gosh. He's the speed guy. For the A's. They sent him down just so that way they could get more service time out of him. It was really, continue.
And their team leader in ERA right now is Paul Blackburn with a 4 ERA.
Yeah.
A 4 ERA.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they're underwhelming, but I feel like they should be worse than they are. And I don't think their record reflects just how bad this team is.
Mm-hmm.
Save from Mason Miller. Once Miller's gone, which I anticipate by the trade deadline, they're going to tank, I think. And especially as they start playing more difficult teams, I believe.
Yeah.
Because they got swept by Boston.
Yeah.
I mean, they lost 3-4 to Cleveland. They do have Houston coming up, so maybe they'll be able to take a couple games from them.
Yeah.
But they're playing Seattle. I don't think they're going to get anywhere with them. They're going to have Colorado, but they're also going to be playing Atlanta and Seattle and Kansas City. I think that's going to be a rough stretch for them. They're going to lose even more games.
Yeah. So the player, I think we talked about this in the last couple podcasts ago. I think it was last podcast, or they sent down Esteury Ruiz, who had gotten off to a great start. I think he was batting close to 300 and OPS of 850. They sent him down so that way he couldn't collect enough service time. So that way they could keep him for a year. How big of a jerk move is that? That is a joke of an organization. They sent him down. He was off to a great start. And they're like, you know what? We're going to send him down. And then they benched Brett Rooker because there was that conspiracy theory that because they were all wearing sell the team bracelets. Yeah. They were like a fan page and everything. So it's interesting to see what they do, but just a joke organization.
Indeed. Yeah. Yeah, I know it wasn't necessarily like the team that is doing better, but I just couldn't pick any others that when I was looking at the standings today.
No, I would have picked them.
Yeah. But I'll move to a division which so far is performing pretty well, and that's the AL Central. In my MLB preview, I picked them as the worst division in baseball, I think.
I believe you did.
And a lot of my predictions were very mediocre at best, yeah. Even for the Twins, who I predicted to win the division this year. The bottom two teams I picked were the White Sox and the Royals, I think.
Well, you got one of them right, because one of them was just literally almost the worst team ever.
Yeah. One of them is, well, they were on pace, I think, to be one of the worst teams ever. They might still be, but
yeah.
They were setting new heights for ineptitude,
yeah.
Or new lows for ineptitude.
Yeah.
The other team has pleasantly surprised me, and I think I gave them a little more grace because of the newer guys they were bringing in, and that's Kansas City.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they could be for real.
Yeah.
I think they could be for real this year. You had the ageless wonder, Salvador Perez.
Oh, love Salvi.
I mean, he just keeps producing.
Yeah.
He's been with this team for over a decade.
Yeah. He was with the team when they won the World Series back in
2015. Yeah, so that was 9 years ago. He was the MVP of that World Series, and so far he's the MVP of this team, hitting .321, 8 home runs, 32 RBIs.
Jeez. Yeah.
And someone who's performing almost as well as Bobby Witt Jr.
Yep.
You know, with his .310 average and his 48 hits and 20 RBIs. You have... otherwise, like, they're just, you have Adam Frazier, who's not, I guess, doing so great. Vinny Tasquitino.
Yeah, they call him Sasquatch.
Sasquatch?
Yeah.
Why?
Or Squatch, because Pasquatino or whatever, how you pronounce it? I just know his nickname is Squatch or something like that. Like,
yeah.
They had a theme where, like, Bigfoot for a night, I believe, or... something. It was
Bigfoot for a night.
Yeah, for like a to celebrate. I don't know. I remember him talking on an interview with what's his name? I can't remember his freaking name. Yeah. He's part.
But another reason why Kansas City's been doing as well is the start that Seth Lugo's been having.
Mm-hmm.
Where did that come from?
He came from free agency, I believe.
Well, yes. But still, being 5-1 with an under 2 ERA was not what I was expecting.
It's a good ballpark to pitch in. It's a good ballpark to pitch in.
It is. Yeah. Brady Singer's doing well with a 2.36. Cole Reagans.
Yeah.
He's striking out a bunch of people.
Yeah, I like Cole.
And even James MacArthur has 8 saves on the year.
Not John MacArthur?
No, two totally different people. Well, maybe not totally. I don't know what he believes. Yeah. I don't know what he believes or not. But,
yeah.
No, I don't think John MacArthur is a closer.
oh, my goodness.
Theology jokes.
Theology jokes, people.
Yeah, I think they're doing just the right things right now. And they're taking advantage of the games that they should be winning.
Yeah, the Twins were hot for a little bit to see if they can continue doing, like, they're probably one of the better teams, but the Guardians are, I feel like it's like that team a couple years ago where they just seem to put it all together, just scrappy. Doesn't really have a ton of firepower, but
it's pretty tight at the top right now.
Yeah, like
they're only separated by a half game.
Yeah,
those three teams.
Yeah, like J-Ram is probably the best player. J-Ram is probably the best player out of everyone in those three teams.
Yeah.
You would say, but now the Royals, they're overachieving, but I think that they're real. I think they'll probably be that third wild card team. I think so.
Yeah, I think the Twins and the Guardians will outpace them eventually.
Yeah.
But I think they are who they are.
Yeah.
They're not fakers in that way.
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to be that close of a race in the end.
Yeah. If it is, that'd be incredible. That'd be like the AL West last year.
Yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of, do you have any more?
Any more fakers or takers? Well, I like how Houston's 10 games below 500 right now.
Yeah, that's what we should be talking about, people. Yeah. The Houston Astros are on pace for one of their worst seasons ever, which is when they started their rebuild. They are 14-24. 14-24, .368 win percentage. They sent down Jose Abreu, and their pitching has just been absolutely horrible.
That hasn't been a great signing for them so far.
No.
Jose Abreu, that.
Yeah, who would have thought the Oakland Athletics would be three games ahead of the Houston Astros at the second week of May? No one would have predicted that. No one. Even the, like, they signed Josh Hader. No one would have predicted that. I know we haven't talked about fakers or takers for the Houston, but do you think they'll eventually turn it around?
I don't anticipate them being this bad forever.
You think it'd be like around 500?
I think so.
Okay.
I think they'll bounce back. They'll get hot maybe in June or something.
Yeah.
When are they getting? They have guys that are hurt right now. Which
they have a lot of pitchers that are hurt.
I don't think that helps them.
And a lot of their pitchers that they brought up were terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So right now with Houston,
I know Hunter Brown got sent down and then he has a shoulder injury. Yeah. Framber has pitched okay. He hasn't been lighting it up.
Yeah, so they're getting Christian Javier back today. They have McCullers. He threw a bullpen session on Saturday.
I feel like that dude's been hurt for like 3 years.
Yeah. Luis Garcia completed a bullpen session yesterday. I think when they get some of these guys back, like Presley, he's day-to-day. Presley.
Yeah. You thought that bullpen with Presley, Hader, and Abreu, the last three of the bullpen, you're like, wow, it's going to be unhittable. But yeah. Hader's been absolutely horrible. Good for that, because he shouldn't have went to Houston. He should have went to the Rangers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, on the bright side for Houston, Altuve is, you know, Dean Altuve, and Peña is having a really good season so far. The offense is, a couple of the players in the offense has been their highlight. Yeah. But other than that, it's been a struggle for them. I think they're too good to be this bad.
Yeah.
And I think that's why they're going to come back. I don't think they're going to win the division necessarily, but they'll make it interesting at the end. Maybe be sitting somewhere between third and if they really do well and they get hot, the second place.
Yeah. I think it's going to be hard for them to like make the playoffs at this point, just because they are 10 games below 500 and we're almost a quarter of the way through the season. That's very hard to make up. Like, the Nationals did it when they won the World Series and were like 4 or 5 games below 500. Then I got off to a really great start or great ending. But I don't know. There's just something that's telling me this actually might not be like, it might just be like a skip year for them. I don't know if they trade pieces, but it just might be a year where, like, all right, we're just not, this is not our year.
They're not going to be sellers.
No, I just don't see it. I think that they'll maybe 500, but I think that it's just this year, like the year that they're just, it's not our year. Almost like, it reminds me of a certain team back like a couple years ago. I think it might've been the Cardinals. Like, no one can't remember which year it was. I can't remember, but yeah, you got the Red Sox are off to a decent start. They're at 500. No, I don't think anyone expected them to be at 500 either.
No, 19-19. They have lost three straight.
Their pitching's been good though.
Pitching's been good. Yeah. They had Patrick Corbin, who got his first win of the season yesterday against the Nationals.
Yeah.
So
yeah, they played the Braves. I think they got swept by the Braves, or I can't remember. But they lost maybe two or three to the Braves.
Yeah.
But yeah, those are our fakers and takers for the season. And take that to the bank. You know, deposit it. You know, guarantee it. That's on us.
Put it in a high yield savings account.
Yeah, you know, with a certain percentage. I don't know what good percentage.
Interest rates are pretty high right now, so
yeah,
put it in that high interest savings account.
Yeah. Let us know what you think. Who are the fakers and takers that you think for this 2024 season are? I'm looking forward to seeing how this pans out, especially with, I think the Royals are the team that I'm most interested in to see if they're actually for real, just because they have some exciting players. But yeah, we'll see how it goes. All right. I have a hot take.
Do you?
To end our podcast this morning. So we were talking about teams that aren't doing too well, And, you know, the Marlins aren't doing super well. And get that out of here. Stop it.
He has a mug with a picture of himself on it and a star.
So I will take the photo. I will allow, you know, just take it, take it. So I have a mug with a face on it, of my face on it, but it is an office joke because Kelly has a party and she creates mugs with everyone's face on them for his party favors. Well, Jim and Dwight didn't go to the party and so they don't have the mugs. Well, one of my friends, they made a mug for me as a gift with my face on it. So I didn't make this for myself to make a coffee mug, okay? This was a gift, people. But it's got my face on it with a star and a coffee mug. All right. So it's a good mug. Anyway, I have a hot take for you. I'm going to get right to it. No more messing around. There are two teams that I think are going to fire their manager in season.
Huh.
Two teams. I think there are going to be two managers that are fired before the end of the season. Skip Schumacher is one. I think they're just going to be like, you know what? Let's just end it now. End his misery. The team's going to be absolutely horrible. They're just going to get rid of him. I think they're just going to be like, screw it. We'll bring in a new manager to end the season. The Marlins are an absolute joke. Skip Schumacher is going to be fired before the end of the season. This one might be a little more surprising. John Schneider of the Toronto Blue Jays. Blue Jays are not off to a good start with a team with pretty high expectations with their roster. They are 17-21. Now their division is tough, but they are supposed to be a playoff team. They've been playoff teams the last couple years. They have a great roster, but they have not put it together. Bo Bichette's struggling. Vladimir Guerrero Jr. is not the player he used to be. George Springer's getting older. Barrios has been a bright spot for them. He's a good pitcher. But I think that Schneider's going to get the can before the end of the year. That team's going to, what? Why are you laughing at me?
I'm still thinking of the mugs.
Yeah, well, yeah, you're looking. Yeah, it's right here.
I know.
It's not, whatever. So that's my hot take. Two managers are going to get fired before the end of the year, and it's going to be Schneider, and it's going to be Schumacher.
I don't think the first one is particularly spicy.
So I think obviously he's going to get fired. I said he's going to get fired before the end of the season.
I still don't think it's that spicy of a take. Look at what the Marlins have been doing already.
Yeah, but I think that I think it's spicy because they're going to fire him before the end of the season.
I can definitely see that happening.
Okay,
they're tanking on purpose. They're getting rid of everybody. They're clearly not trying to win anything, so why not get rid of him?
But normally teams that are tanking don't necessarily fire their manager till the end of the year.
But the Marlins are terrible owners.
I agree.
And they're already doing things that teams wouldn't generally do.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Maybe it's not as hot.
The second one, I think could happen, but I would push it more toward the end of the year if they underperform. Because they've underperformed the last 2 years already.
Yeah.
They did make the playoffs those 2 years, but they lost in the wild card round, especially 2022, which was a rough way to lose a season.
Mm-hmm.
They have too much star power to be losing this much.
Correct.
I don't know about mid-season unless they're just really, really bad.
If they're in last place by the All-Star break, like continuing to do what they do, I would definitely say he's going to maybe get the can by the All-Star break, like maybe the week after the All-Star break.
Yeah.
And then maybe at the deadline, they're like, all right, we're going to add a piece, a new manager or something like that.
But they have to lose pretty bad, I think, because they're still like 15-18.
Yeah.
Right,
like
now.
They have good pieces. It's kind of, they're kind of like the Padres, in my opinion. They have like star power, but it just seems like they just can't always gel together.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think maybe I thought it was maybe because I got two managers getting fired before the end of the season. Normally you don't get that many managers fired in the middle of the season. You get them more towards the end of the season, like at the very end. But yeah, what do you think? Not super spicy?
Not the spiciest I've heard.
Okay. Gotcha. You know, like mild, not hot, mild.
Medium.
Okay.
What's the difference between medium and mild?
Okay, I think actually medium might be a little bit spicier than mild. I forgot about that. Yeah, because mild hot sauce or mild salsa is not as spicy as medium.
Okay.
Yeah.
I would say medium then.
Medium. All right.
Because people. Of the Snyder piece.
Gotcha. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think I added Schumacher in there because I needed two managers to be fired, because that's what I thought. I was like, you know what? These guys probably are going to get fired. Like, I think they are. Because most of the other managers are new. Like, they're not going to, the A's, I don't think, are going to fire Kotze. He's the second year on the job. They're doing well. They might fire him just because they're a terrible organization, but I don't think the White Sox are going to fire their manager. They just brought him in, and they're just terrible. They kind of expected this.
Yeah.
Whereas the Marlins made the playoffs last year and had manager of the year, and then they bring in a new president of baseball operations who probably wants a different manager, and gosh, Marlins are a joke.
Yeah.
Gosh, what a joke. Yeah, so let us know, people, who are the fakers and takers of the season so far, and what do you think about my medium take?
Or maybe it's more mild, or maybe it's hot, or like Nashville hot.
Which is very popular right now.
Yeah. Not like ghost pepper, though. That's not that hot.
Ghost pepper kind of went through its fad. Like
Carolina Reaper?
Carolina Reaper's kind of like that. I want to do a Hot Ones game. Have you ever done that or seen that?
Yeah,
I've
seen that.
I kind of want to do that. Apparently, it's like $100 to buy everything for it. And so I would do it as like a group thing for everyone. I think it'd be fun.
That sounds too miserable for me. I like to enjoy what I'm eating.
But that's the we ask questions. We ask questions about that. Can you imagine if we did a podcast on that?
Like a
baseball podcast talking about that? That'd be awful. It'd be absolutely awful. All right, people, we're going to end it there. Let us know what you think in the comments and everything, and we'll catch you next time.
See you later.